Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show. Before we get to today's episode, I want to chat about our sponsor today. Our sponsor is Epigraph Literary Festival, which is a three-day virtual event that introduces readers to authors with new and upcoming books and hosts genre and lifestyle theme sessions. We host a spring and summer festival in April or a fall and winter festival in September. You won't want to miss our happy hour sessions at the end of each day of the festival. And if you're a deal for a good time spending time with book people, you won't want to miss it. So you can join us on April 27th to the 29th by registering at epigraphlitfestival.com. If you miss the festival, you can catch the replays and you can find the link at epigraphlitfestival.com, or you can join us in the next festival. So now let's get to today's show. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to What's Your Next Podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. At this point, I call myself a romance and thriller writer in YA and adult. I'm from Los Angeles, have a background, sort of went to film school, tried that out for a bit, and then was sort of writing books the whole time, but ultimately decided to focus on the books. So here I am now. I work in publishing and... let's see. I don't know. I got a rescue dog in like October, and she is my life.
All right. So you do what it would be like murder or sex, you know, like thrillers and romance are like, you know, these two polar opposites, but they are somewhat driven the same idea. They're page-turners, they're engaging, you just involved with it. How do you manage to jump among genres, you know?
I mean, it's kind of one of those things where like I read genre, I guess genre agnostic, if we want to call it that, like my whole life. So it was sort of like I had an interest in general with like characters, and that was what mattered most to me. So it was just like, what kind of vibe of the story am I looking for at that point? And when it came to writing, I actually started out with thrillers. I don't know. I think it was just the idea of having, you have to have such an intricately tight plot that like it kind of made everything else seem easy. That's not actually true, but like, that's what I sort of went into the mindset of. So I started writing that, but it always had romantic subplots. So I wrote thrillers that had romantic subplots. And so when it came time to just wanting to write a rom-com, it was more about like just making sure tonally that it fit with the genre. So I like did a deep dive in reading all sort of like the bestsellers that were going on. It was like 2019. So it wasn't even that long ago. So I like during that one big rom-com boon. So okay, I was reading all of those just to get a sense of like, this is what the tone usually is, these are sort of like the series of events. So it was really just making sure that like, well yeah, just like that it wasn't too sad or too like off tonally. And this took revisions, like as my editor could probably tell you. And so I think it was just making sure that I was really honoring the genre that, like, I think I read a little bit less because I sort of came from more of a high-paced sort of action, like, darker world where I was like, okay, like, these stories have just as much impact. How can I make sure that these readers are going to be sort of satisfied by the story? And the funny thing is now, like, romantic thriller is sort of, and it's always been here, but it's kind of, like, up and coming where I'm like, can I just combine them now? Like, now I feel like I have all this sort of skill with writing romance and I'm like, okay. Now I can really make a subplot, main plot in a thriller like shine. So
yeah. Well, I have to tell you, one of my favorite romance niche is serial killer romance. So serial killers should fall in love with you. Like there's something to be said about the one who's killing. You're like, oh, that sociopath also needs love.
So bad. When I was 13, that was the first thing I wrote was a serial. It was It was, yeah, it was a serial killer romance with, like, I don't know, the characters were like 18 or whatever, like, but my parents were kind of horrified. And I was just like, I don't know. I watched The Dark Knight and got really inspired, so I wrote this book.
Yeah. I love this. And you know, like, it's part of it, like, maybe, like, it's definitely, there's a new interest, renowned interest in this idea of, like, combining both genres and, like, merging about them, you know. But both genres just have beats, like, they have, like, different plot points or different things, or there's certain formulas that you kind of blend in and fix it, do make them your own, but they have certain things that will make you know, gravitate for. So
yeah, and it's so interesting because even in the rom-com world, I feel like the, like, adventure rom-com and, like, the rom-com with, like, a little bit of, like, a crime thriller mystery element is, like, really on the rise too. So it's so exciting, like, you can take it in both sort of tonal directions, which is so cool.
Yeah, I think it's challenging the market. There's the market who listens to true crime podcasts and reads Smudge, you know.
Yeah.
On the side. Like, this is, it just, it combines the best of both worlds. Like, what else can you ask for? You know? Mm-hmm. So, all right. So let's chat about Sizzle Reel. What is the elevator pitch?
So the elevator pitch is, it's about a 24-year-old talent manager's assistant who realizes she's bi and decides to, like, air quotes, make up for lost time by trying to seduce this ambiguously gay actress client. And shenanigans happen.
Mm-hmm. And more will be real. So this is, like, another celebrity adjacent, you know, kind of, like, niche. What was your kind of research? You're in LA, so you may have maybe familiar with this more than probably someone who is, like, not in LA, you know, in this world.
I mean, so, like, what Luna went through, so essentially I didn't exactly go to film school, but, like, I did a degree from USC that was, like, kind of English kind of film. And, like, you take a lot of the film classes with the film major. So I'm like, I did it. I did the film degree. And so I originally wanted to be a screenwriter. And so they like basically say, like, there's a couple paths you can go down. Like, it's such a people industry that you kind of are just told, like, basically you have to network and you have to, like, do these really difficult jobs, like hard amount of work. And then, like, your boss kind of treats you like shit. And, like, I tried that out for a while and I just, like, I couldn't do it. But along the way, I had, I went to the Crazy Rich Asians premiere with my boss, and I just sort of fell in love with rom-coms. And I was just like, okay, I want to sort of put together the feeling of being from this industry and having that, like, experience of, like, the assistant in Hollywood and, like, making it into a rom-com. And then so I don't know, it's kind of just something I've been around for, like, most of my, like, college and then post-college life. Like, if you're anywhere in those sort of areas, like, all your friends are doing it and they all have unique stories of how they went through the assistant track and, like, people they've met and bosses they've had. And so a lot of it, like, the talent management part is, like, real stories of, like, either what I experienced or, like, it was combining a lot of bosses. Like, first of all, this is kind of based off of, like, one boss that I've had. It's kind of like taking little quirks from all of them, but it's so interesting because a lot of those executives, it's just fascinating because they seem to lose their ability to, like, do really basic tasks. And I always wonder, I'm like, I think you were a normal person, like, 10 years ago. Like, what happened? And then in terms of the celebrity aspect, like, I wanted to make it so, like, Val felt like a real person. Like, there's an element of, like, you sort of go between the, like, way Luna views her, which is obviously, like, to some extent, the way we all view celebrities is kind of this elevated idol, but also, like, wanted to be able to show that there were cracks there that Luna just wasn't seeing until she does.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. And yeah, I lived in New York for 14 years. And so I got the New York scene a little different. I was an assistant. I was a professional temp for about five of those years. And you get, like, every sort of boss, every sort of, like, idea of, like, workplace, like, you know, ridiculousness, like, the expectation and the expectations, like, a million girls would like to have this job. You're like, really? Nobody wants to do this, you know? Like, the lowest product, you know, mentality. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're like, but you're not good at this.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
Yes. And you have your work friends who are your commiserating buddies, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're just kind of like, you get through it. So, All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read?
So again, I like read kind of everything. Right now I try to focus in on like, I'm trying to establish like what things I want to write. So I try to like read in those areas. So for the most part, I read adult rom-coms, I read adult thrillers, I read YA contemporary, and I read YA thrillers. Like those are kind of my, and then like, there's still like fantasy authors from YA that I still follow and stuff like that. But
yeah,
try mostly in those niches.
All right. So I'm curious with the rom-com, adult rom-com, what was your gateway book? Like which one was your first one? You know,
it was actually The X Talk by Rachel and Solomon. Mm-hmm. Again, she's my friend. So like I wasn't even really fully intending to go into the rom-com space because at the time I was writing thrillers and I was like gung-ho on that. But I read all her YA contemporary and she was like, hey, like I'm writing this adult, like, do you want to read it? And I, of course, yes. And so her writing is just so good that I was like, oh wow, like I can see the sort of what this genre probably is.
Yeah.
And it's totally worth investing in. And so from there, yeah, like then I started reading like, you know, a lot more of like the Allie Hazelwood and the of course I can't think of any authors. So then I just started reading like everything else that was like popular on the market then.
Yep. That's very cool. I always ask that question, like, what was your first romance read? Because sometimes you can sear in your mind, you're like, okay, it was really cringeworthy, it was like outdated, or it was like really good, it was like really in alignment, and like it was like it opened up this world of like thousands of books that I can actually binge on.
Yeah, I think the newness helped me. Like, I would love to say that I've been reading romance like since long enough back to where you can start saying like, oh, I can see how this like hasn't aged a certain way, or like I can see like really large, like decades long trends. I'm not there yet. I still need to dig deep.
It is all good. It is all good. So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Oh man, let's see. I mean, so I'm just gonna keep plugging Rachel. Her newest book, Business or Pleasure, is like probably my favorite adult rom-com right now. It's a sex lessons sort of road trip book about this woman who's a ghostwriter, and she has this terrible one-night stand. And then the next day she finds out that the one-night stand is actually a sort of C-list actor who she got assigned to ghostwrite his autobiography. And so they sort of go around like learning. She goes around learning about him while also he asks her to help improve his sex game, because that's how you deal with an awkward one-night stand when you have to write about him. And it's just so fantastic. Let's see. And then otherwise, yeah, like I'm kind of like this. So because I'm sort of like all over the place, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's a lot of recent adult rom-coms that I really loved. Like I really loved Love in the Time of Serial Killers by Alicia Thompson. That's actually one where we were talking about how like it is mostly a rom-com. That one is about a woman who is doing a true crime PhD, and that's kind of like part of how she sees the world is through the lens of like this idea of like serial killers being everywhere and sort of the true crime mindset that we're all in. And basically she moves over to her dad's house after he passes away to sort of help clean it out and sell it. And the neighbor next door is like this really cute but very like too friendly man. And so she's like, this is a serial killer. And like, meanwhile, he's just like a nice, normal dude. And it's really, really sweet rom-com that has just sort of that. It's just fun when the protagonist is kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so that one just like, because it is, it's like a true crime girly, like that perspective on this genre that I just thought was so sort of fresh and innovative. And then going over to the sapphics in my little sphere, I really loved Kiss Her Once by Allison Cochran, which was her latest rom-com. And that one is a holiday rom-com about a woman who has sort of this whirlwind romance during a snowstorm. And then the next year, she makes a deal to fake date, I think it's her landlord. I might have that wrong, so that's the case. But like someone she knows, and goes to his family's house to sort of have this fake dating arrangement, ends up realizing that the man's sister is the girl that she had the whirlwind romance with last year. And so it's just so fun. Like, I also love when there's sort of a big cast and you kind of get the feeling of like, this could so easily be a comedy movie. And like, I so gravitate towards cinematic things like that, where like every character is so distinct and so funny that it's like, you're rooting for the romance, but you're also like, these people are so great. Can I just like stay at this fancy house for way longer than 300 pages?
Yeah, that book is really fun. It's just like, it's cozy vibes. Like, it's not Christmas. It's kind of the Christmas vibe, but it's like cozy vibes. And there's also a sense of like, who's getting with whom? But, you know, yeah. Like this whole question, like this character, cast characters, like, how is it going to all work? But it will work out, you know, because, you yeah. know, you have the promise of romance. It's going to happen happy ever after.
I love a good mess before things work out. Like, yeah. It's so fun.
Yeah. So awesome. Carlin, tell us where we can find you online.
Let's see. Twitter, I am at Carlin Greenwald, of course, you know. Instagram at Carlin_GEE. And I do have a TikTok. It's Carlin_GEE, but mostly on Instagram. So
awesome. Thank you, Carlin, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.